So today we're celebrating the transfiguration of our Lord, and a vision of the glorified Jesus is given to the apostles Peter, James, and John. And we're also told that Moses and Elisha appear at the transfiguration. We might think to ourselves, why now? Jesus' mission is not complete. Or, well, aren't the apostles going to see the resurrected, transfigured, glorified Jesus in just a short time? Well, the Passion is about to happen, and the disciples will be shaken. They'll be scared. So they're giving a little bit of things to come to help them in this time of trial. Now, while the transfiguration is at the center of today's gospel, those who witnessed the transfiguration had to undergo their own struggles of faith to have this encounter with Christ. So I think that they're all great role models for us to look at. So let's start with Moses. Go back and think, okay, this is the person that God's going to choose to lead the Israelites out of slavery and to the promised land. Well, let's look at his resume. We know that he kills an Egyptian in cold blood. We know that when God calls him, he says, no thanks, I'm not a good speaker. Please go find someone else. We know that as he's walking in the desert leading the people in Numbers 20, he disobeys God and goes against what God is asking him to do. And you might think, you know, God, maybe there was someone more qualified you could have called to do this than Moses. But then we see Moses start to transform. We see him start to say, okay, this is what God is calling me to do, so I must man up and take this responsibility. We see that when the Israelites are complaining against God, God's like, you know, let's wipe them out, be done with them. And Moses says, no, Lord, don't allow the Egyptians to say, look, he took his people out into the desert to destroy them. Take my life. Spare them, but take my life. We see Moses receiving the Ten Commandments and being the keeper and guardian of them and giving them to the people. We see Moses start to say, okay, I have to become the spiritual father, the spiritual leader of God's people. They've been put into my hands, and it's my responsibility, working with God, to take them from slavery in Egypt and bring them to the promised land. So we see this beautiful transformation, transfiguration of Moses, going from like not willing to do God's will to saying, I'm willing to lay down my life to do God's will. Next, let's turn to Elisha. Elisha is a perfect example of the saying, no good deed goes unpunished. So Elisha, on behalf of God, is called to go and confront the king, King Ahab, and to say to him, what you are doing is wrong. You must repent from worshiping this false god, and you must come back into right relationship with the God of Israel. Now, that's a pretty tall tale, pretty task to take. He could have easily said, guards, lop his head off. Then Elisha has to go and confront 450 false prophets of Baal. He has to go in and have an encounter with them and take them on. And if you've never read The Exchange, I recommend it. It's really funny. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, you want a good couple laughs today at your home, you know, just look it up. The exchange that they have, it makes me laugh every time I think about it, right? Then if that wasn't bad enough, next he has to take on the queen, Ahab's wife, Queen Jezebel, who's openly calling for his death. In all of these things, we're told Elisha remains faithful. In all of these things, he says, I must do this from behalf of God. God is calling me to do this. And we see in 2 Kings 2, he's rewarded. A flaming chariot comes down from heaven, swoops him up, and takes him up to heaven. Elisha never experienced death. Kind of cool. I'm kind of hoping for that too, God, if you're listening. So that'd be kind of, I'm being faithful. All right? So, finally, we have Peter. I always say if you want to prove the truthfulness of the Gospels, look at what it says about Peter. Because Peter doesn't always come across as the best, you know, character, right? If I'm the first pope and I'm like the leader of the church, hey, guys, when you write that part down, yeah, let's gloss over that a little bit, right? Put that on the side. Because what do we see at times? We see Peter says, Jesus, call to me when Jesus is walking in the water. And Jesus, come on out. So he starts walking, and all of a sudden he gets scared and starts going down, right? We see Peter, when Jesus says, I have to go to Jerusalem to die, he says, no, you won't. And Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan, right? Peter's the one who denies our Lord three times. Peter's the one who falls asleep three times in the garden when Jesus says, stay here and pray that you will not be put to the test. So we can see at times Peter struggles with who he is, who Jesus is, and his mission. Now we have to remember, Peter doesn't have the fullness of revelation as we do. We know the end of the story. So read the scriptures, and it's in time for them, right? So we got to give him a little bit of a break. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit hasn't happened at Pentecost yet. But we also see another side to Peter. Peter is the one who says to Jesus, when he asks, who do the people say I am? Peter's the one who says, you are the Christ. In John 6, when there's some confusion going on in the Bread of Life discourse, Peter's the one that says, you, Lord, have the words to eternal life. Jesus says to Peter, you are the rock, and on you I will build my church. Peter is the one to whom Jesus says, I'm giving you the authority to loose and bind. So again, we see Peter starts to change, starts to transform, starts to understand his mission. Peter's named 182 times in the New Testament. The next apostle is 34 times, St. John, right? In the Acts of the Apostles, we see a new Peter. We see a transformed Peter. He's seen the risen Christ, and he's out there preaching. He's not afraid to go up against the authorities, whether they be secular or religious. He's not afraid of being imprisoned. In fact, when he's in prison, we're told he's singing songs of praise. And we also know that he would eventually give up his life, understanding what Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. St. Peter became willing to give his life for Christ, for the church, for his faith. So we see this beautiful transformation happening in Peter as well. So we can see that God doesn't choose perfect people. I'll give you a hint. There are none, right? Well, maybe some of you out there, but, you know, that's all right. So Moses, Elijah, and Peter, none of them asked for their calling. They struggled with it. They faced hardships for it. And at times they wanted to throw up their hands and give up. But they didn't. They chose to say, okay, God, I'm going to stick with you. They learned from their mistakes, and they became willing to do God's will. They started to see that there was something greater than themselves. They were part of a larger mission. They were part of a larger act of salvation, and they were playing a part in that for God. So God transformed them and allowed them to become beautiful instruments of his grace, not only for their sake, but for the sake of the world. So what is God asking you? What is God asking me to do? What is God asking us to do? What is God asking us to change? What is God asking us to say in our family, in our workplace, in our society? What mission, whether it be really big or really small, is God asking us to do? Say, you know what? I need you to do something on behalf of my people. And if you're afraid and think I'm not worthy, guess what? You're not. None of us are. But as we saw in today's readings, God isn't asking us to be perfect. He's asking us to be willing. He's asking us to be open. He's asking us to be faithful.